This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Autistic Syndrome Information and Health News Channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Kent Heckenlively, a science teacher, attorney, and author who wants the world to know about the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, and it's all in his new book, Inoculated, How Science Lost Its Soul in Autism. Mr. Heckenlively, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And you're most welcome. So a great place to start would be, if you would, just tell us why you decided to write this book, Inoculated.
Well, you know, I think like a lot of people in the autism community, when the news broke in the summer of 2014 that there was a whistleblower at the CDC, Dr. William Thompson, who had revealed that the CDC had covered up information in the 2003-2004 time period about the link between the MMR vaccine and autism, I was like a lot of people. I was just sitting on the sidelines going, okay, this is great. This is our autism Watergate moment. What so many of us activists have suspected for so long has finally come true. And somebody's come out and said, yes, we studied this. We found a link and we covered it up. But as the weeks and months went by and nothing was happening, you know, I started to get a little bit antsy. And so finally, after about 6 to 8 months of not hearing anything, I approached Dr. Brian Hooker, who was the autism parent and scientist to whom Dr. William Thompson had revealed this information, and I just called him up, and luckily I found that he was a fan of my work on Age of Autism, and I said, this sounds like a book, and I actually asked him if he wanted to be my co-author on it, because with my previous book, Plague, I'd co-authored it with a 20-year government scientist, and he said, you know, I don't want anybody to question, you know, that I'm just telling this story for money, so I will assist you as much as I can, but I'm not going to be a co-author. I'm not going to participate financially in any way. Can't go out and tell the story because it needs to be told.
And why do you think the book Inoculated is such an important book?
You know, I think that one of the things that, you know, has been a big part of my life is science, and I believe so deeply in science, and I think a lot of people do as well. And what we, the reason that science is so important to us is we know that science has a sacred obligation to tell the truth. Now, that's telling the truth without fear or favoritism. You know, it's just science. It's true. And we base our lives on what science tells us. And so what was so dramatic about this story is to see that top scientists at the CDC had actually performed a good scientific investigation of vaccines and autism. And when they got data back, which went against, you know, the CDC's professed mission to fully vaccinate the population, they decided to hide that information. And I just don't think that there's a greater sin, if you will, in science or a crime against humanity than not telling the truth and participating willfully in the harming of children. I mean, autism is a devastating disease. And, you know, as a science teacher, I am a mandated reporter. If I suspect that a single child is being harmed in my classroom by a parent or family member, I have a legal obligation to report that. I can be prosecuted if I don't report that. And so what this story really showed is that there were scientists at the CDC who were willing not just to report harm to a single child, but to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of children in our country who are being harmed every day by their vaccines, by their pediatricians, and who are continuing to live live with these problems without any explanation being given for what happened to them. So I talk about this as the autism Watergate, and I think it's worse than that. I mean, this is really an unprecedented moment in human history when you have a large governmental organization telling people and convincing the public through advertising, and supportive science that this course of action is good for your children when it seems to be exactly the opposite, that there is harm, there is risk that they are not telling you about, and because they're not telling you about it, there is no opportunity to change course. So I just think that it's bigger than Watergate. I struggle to come up with a comparable situation in human history when the government is so affirmatively convincing the population that something is good and it's actually harmful. So, you know, I want to tell the story in an objective, matter-of-fact way. I want your listeners to know that what I did in writing this book was I applied to Congress for access to the documents that the CDC whistleblower had turned over. He turned over more than 10,000 documents to Congress detailing this cover-up. So, you know, for people who might think that I'm a conspiracy theorist, well, all I can say is I wrote this book based on documents I received from Congress. I went as far as to interview a Stanford law professor about the current legal situation that in regards to vaccines, because we don't have vaccines are not covered under the traditional civil system. We have a vaccine court, which is very unfair to the people who are in it. I also interviewed a senior judge on the vaccine court, and it was just overwhelming that, you know, there's this deception at the CDC, but every part of this system is failing. You know, to talk to a senior judge on this vaccine court and have him say that the system hasn't really worked since 1995, and I talked to a Stanford law professor who says that this vaccine court is not working the way it was intended. I mean, this is pretty dramatic. I mean, I don't think there's anything more important than the health of our children. And so I'm going to stand up and talk to anybody who will listen to me that, you know, our government is actively harming children, and we need to get Thompson in front of a congressional committee. We need to return vaccines to the regular civil court system, and we need to protect our children. We need to tell the truth before we can actually go after this epidemic and hopefully, you know, bring, you know, treatments and cures for those who are currently affected.
And certainly eye-opening and detailed information there. Thanks for that. Now, in your subtitle, you use the phrase, how science lost its soul in autism. Could you explain what that means?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that, you know, since I was a little boy, I have just loved science. And I've always thought that science had this amazing, compassionate, curious soul. And that's what science is. Science really is. Science has a sacred obligation to tell the truth without fear or favoritism. That's what science is. And so it really disturbs me to go through this information and say, you know, to have parents like me and independent researchers attacked when we're trying to get to the bottom of this, and also to find out that science is being corrupted. Science is being corrupted at the very highest level. I just think that science has lost its soul. So you know, the attack that's made against people like me who raise questions is we're anti-science. And you know, that's the farthest thing from the truth. I am pro-science. I am pro-questioning. I am pro-getting answers. So when I looked at what was going on, what was clear to me was that when concerns started being raised in the late 1990s and early 2000s, I think that the scientists at the CDC, and there's a group of about four or five of them in the vaccine safety office who, you know, who are part of what I call a cabal, they really came up with a good research plan. And that's what was so interesting for me in going through the congressional documents, was to find out that their analysis plan was actually really good. I mean, I could find no fault with it. But when they got data which didn't fit their preconceived notions of what they wanted to be able to report, they decided to destroy some of the data, and it's just overwhelming. I mean, they found, that earlier administration of the MMR vaccine led to significantly higher rates of autism in African-American males. So while we're worried about African-American males getting shot in the streets of our major cities, well, why isn't there we even more concerned about young African-American males going to their pediatricians and developing a lifelong debilitating disease? There was also another group which the CDC covered up, and they coined this really bizarre term called isolated autism. And so there's an increase in isolated autism cases. And all that means is these were normally developing children. So if you were a normally developing child and then you had no other problems, well, you get your MMR shot early and you're at a greatly increased risk of autism. So, you know, it's dramatic in that, you know, like I said, I can't imagine a greater crime against humanity, a greater example of human wickedness than covering up harm to children. And so I wanted to tell that story based on government documents that I got, based on interviews with lots of people who were involved in this. And, you know, I just think that this is – it's an unprecedented crime in humanity. And I wanted to tell the story because only if we get the truth can we figure out how to solve this thing.
And certainly honored to be a part of getting this message out today. We are speaking with Mr. Kent Heckenlively, the author of the new book, Inoculated: How Science Lost Its Soul in Autism, here on eHealth Radio's Autistic Syndrome Information and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Mr. Heckenlively, you share some startling revelations in the first three chapters. Can you talk about some of these?
Well, you know, what was really interesting to me is I talk about Inoculated being a story of incredible darkness, but I also talk about it being a story of incredible hope. So this whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, confesses these crimes against humanity to Dr. Brian Hooker, and what develops between the two men is this amazing friendship and this concern for each other. And, you know, it struck me as like there's such darkness in the story, but there's also such great light and hope because Dr. Thompson, who helped conceal this information, was devastated by the role that he had played in this. He knew that it was wrong. It had caused significant psychological stress to him over the years. And you know, thankfully, he preserved all this information because his co-authors actually came into the CDC on a Saturday to throw all of the data away so that it couldn't be recreated, and he preserved it. So, you know, there's an incredible sort of triumph of the human spirit in this thing. And so, you know, I often liken it to a drunk driver, the parent of a child who's been killed by a drunk driver, befriending the drunk driver who killed their child and caring about them. And, you know, Dr. Thompson apologized to Dr. Brian Hooker because Dr. Brian Hooker has an autistic son. And, you know, and Thompson also apologized to Dr. Andy Wakefield, who had first raised concerns about the MMR vaccine in the late 1990s. And Thompson went so far as even to say, if I had not been part of this cover-up, your work would have been vindicated and, you know, you would not have been stripped of your medical license in England. And Wakefield said, I accept your apology without reservation and wish only the best for you. And so I think that there's this amazing, you know, I always think about, okay, what is the human response to overwhelming darkness and evil? Is it just more anger and hatred, or is there something better that the answer to great evil is not, you know, great evil in return, but great humanity and soulfulness? And that's what I seek to portray in the book as well.
Out of curiosity, originally, what first brought this subject to your attention?
What first brought this subject to my attention is the reports that we got in the summer of 2014 that there was this whistleblower at the CDC. So I was really interested in, you know, that news hitting the national media. And as the weeks and months went by and nothing happened, I just said to myself, okay, I understand the national media is not going to tell the story, so somebody has to. So then that's when I approached Dr. Brian Hooker, the scientist to whom William Thompson had revealed this information, and I said that I wanted to write a book about this. Would he be my co-author? And he had said no, he didn't want to be my co-author because he didn't want anybody questioning his financial stake in it, but he would help me write the book, and he would make sure I told it accurately. So it's my book, but I did it with the help of Brian Hooker, with Dr. Andy Wakefield, and these documents I received from Congress.
Mr. Heckenlively, I do appreciate your being proactive in all regards, and all that you've shared here today is certainly eye-opening and amazing, no doubt, and appreciate as well all the efforts and what you're trying to accomplish. And again, we are honored to be a part of getting this message out here on eHealth Radio. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, advice, or a final tip for the listeners today along the lines of our conversation?
Well, I think that this is just a story that needs to be told. I think we can fight this thing. If your listeners go out, buy the book, read it, familiarize themselves with it. I actually have to tell sort of a funny story. This is my second book, and my wife had made the comment that she says, gosh, your first book, I felt like I needed a PhD to read. This book is so much more readable and engaging, and you did a better job of simplifying some of the complex concepts. So I want to encourage people to read it, not just to know about the bad things that the government has done, but the book is filled with a lot of hope, because I actually think that there are a number of scientists who are really close to solving autism, and we may not be able to, we may not just solve autism, but we may also solve some things like Alzheimer's and these record numbers of dementia, because we're understanding what's happening biologically in these kids, and it may be something similar in the elderly population. So I encourage people to buy the book and read it, get it from Amazon, because not only does it tell you about the terrible things that have happened in the past and makes that clear to people, but it also points the way to a brighter future.
And speaking of which, where can our listeners get more information on the book Inoculated, and where could one be in touch with you as well?
So they can go to my website, which is www.inoculated.org. That's one N in inoculated, and people can contact me there. And you can get the book on Amazon, and we want to make it a bestseller so people start paying attention and things start to change.
Once again, Mr. Heckenlively, we appreciate your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. And again, thank you for what you're doing in the space.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Kent Heckenlively, a science teacher, attorney, and author who wants the world to know about the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson. And it's all in his new book, Inoculated, How Science Lost Its Soul in Autism. And for more information and for contact, simply visit inoculated.org. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Autistic Syndrome Information and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.